All right, friends, here we go again. We've been given another day of life, and so we gather together as we open up this podcast and want to look into the Bible, want to talk about stuff, huh? Yeah, I want to talk about stuff that's going to make us wise in a time and generation and culture where individuals have lost the ability to discern their own genders. It's a beautiful thing to have the Bible, right? Make us wise. And so we say good morning to our friends here. Mel, always a pleasure to have you. Sister, you are a great encouragement. Mel is with us here on the comment thread. She joins us this AM. Pod Vlog Episode 33, titled No Work, No Food. No Work, No Food. My name is Stefan Maye, and the website is addedsouls.com. I encourage you to check that out and look into the mission we are currently laboring, and if you'd like to partake in that, in this mission, by all means, reach out to us. We are always honored to have fellow saints warmly welcomed and participating with the support of the gospel this side of the map. This side of the map. So, we want to kind of look at a few areas in the scriptures that I've been thinking about this past week because of what I can see in the community. And also within the church, sadly, regarding those who don't want to work but expect to have food on the table. Good morning, Wayne. Good to see you with us. Hope all is well indeed. As we know it, we have breath in our lungs, a thinking mind. Our family here, the Maye family, seems to be healthy. Knock on wood. We pray to God that continue. And we have the opportunity to create this gospel content. We are having a wonderful day. I pray you are having a wonderful day as well, or a start to a wonderful day in this AM, Brother Wayne. We need to talk about those who refuse to work and expect to have food on the table. There are numerous verses in the Bible. Many of the wisdom literature we find in the scriptures most certainly command the fact that we must not be busybodies, found idle, bored, and leeching on to society, government, or our fellow man when we are just sloths on the couch, you know. I just don't want to work. Why do I need to work? It's just not the way to be. It's not a productive behavioral conduct for a Christian, and it most certainly destroys a community and a society and a nation when they adapt that form of mentality. Well, we're just not going to work. Some Christians in the first century had in their minds that the return of Jesus Christ was about to happen, like today or tomorrow. And because of that, they would just sit back, kick back and say, well, why do I need to go work for anything? Why do I need to be productive about anything? Jesus is going to return any time now. Well, Paul had something to say to that, and it was very powerful rebuke. Rebuke saying, no, that's not how things work here, man. That's not what's going on. I look in the community here, and I live in a socialist country. And in this socialist country, I'm on the East Coast. And on the East Coast is the most extreme, progressive, socialist side of the country. And because of that, of course, we see now more homeless individuals, if you will. We have individuals in the community who are in need of food and shelter and clothing and care, you know. I speak to some of them, and I stop and I speak to some of them, and some of them, it takes a level of wisdom to discern the fraud from the real deal, the authentic needy individual who's just been held, you know, a series of bad decisions in his life or her life has led to now the consequence can't find employment and no family to help, and health is decayed, you know, and there's just, they have no home. They have no food, they have no clothing, so they rely on good-hearted individuals who want to help. However, those are few and far in between. And in a socialist environment, many who plague our streets with an appearance of decay in the inner city just don't want to go work. It's not that they can't. It's not that there isn't work. It's not that they can't work physically, health-wise. They just don't want to. Why would they? Why would they? You see, the government gives them a check. And on top of that, if they just go panhandle for a while at a certain light, there will be enough individuals during several hours of the day. That individual does more with the government handout, the welfare, and the panhandling than he ever or she ever could working at McDonald's asking for fries. Would you like fries with that? But is that an honest way to make a living, or is it thievery? And through the channel of thievery, what does that make that individual? Well, a useless individual who's just draining and leeching off of the system. And what does the system leech off of? Come on, guys. Let's grow a brain here. The system leeches off of your paycheck. Your law-abiding, hard-working, tax-paying dollar. Going to the leech. To the individual who wants to buy a whole bunch of more scratch tickets, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, have a few more babies, because if you have more babies with different daddies, then you get more checks from the government, right? And food stamps and things of that nature. There's a difference between the authentic needy individual whom we should have compassion and love for and be willing to take care of as a community. But see, Big Brother now, we didn't want that responsibility of love, and so we gave that responsibility to the government, a big socialist government. And big socialist government is just going to rob from you blind and give to the leech. And so it corrupts everything in a country, and it brings it down to its knees. And that's not cool. I'm not speaking of individuals who have been law-abiding citizens, who have been paying their taxes, and then a tragedy occurs or a health situation takes place in which they now, through insurance and government actions and plans, can have it pay, can have money come in each and every week or month or whatnot. I have no problem of conscience or scriptural offense with an individual who has health issues and has gone through the proper channels to receive funding to eat, have shelter, and clothing. Now, there was a time when we in the community were more acute to the moral instructions of the Bible, and so we didn't need the government to tell us to help the poor. We didn't need the government to take from us and give to the poor. We just did it of our own accord. You're from the same community. One would help each other first in the household of faith, in our family, and then those in the community. And together we worked well in the community. We had needy individuals in our community, and they would often come to the door and ask for food or things of that nature. And all together in the community, we would give as we could so that none of us in the community would go starving or anything like that. Well, that's changed, hasn't it? Now it's a leech system that has brought about an idle generation who refuse to work hard for their food and just want to take it from you, the hard worker. You know, it's thievery in its purest form. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you with us this AM on this podcast. Always encouraging to have our friends with us. We are, we're in Pod Vlog episode 33. No work, no food. And we're just discussing amongst ourselves here this current erosion of the hardworking individual. And hardworking doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, you have a hammer and you put nails in wood and you build houses, though it is my opinion, and I'd like to think that my opinion is experienced a little, that the tradesman is desperately in need again. We need individuals who are willing to look into being electricians, plumbers, roofers, framers, foundation workers, woodsmen, fishers, hunters. We need more of that. The tight-jeaned, effeminate kind of portrayal that is being brought out of the factory, academic factory in our children is just doesn't seem to be working out. We've been trying this experiment throughout the decades, and there seems to be a lack, isn't there? Yeah, of course. But anyways. Yeah, Wayne says in a comment here, many have the idea that we owe it to them. Yeah, it's the entitlement culture, you know, the entitled culture. We're entitled to have it. We're oppressed. You're all privileged. We're entitled to have what you have, and we want it now. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to work for anything. We're just going to take it from you. The cancel culture, you know, the leftist ideology. It's the liberal way of life. Of course, the elite on the top globalist pedestal there of this whole movement, I mean, these guys are multimillionaires. They're not the ones that are going to suffer from anything. They just have to push out the youth into this ideology and then allow the community to come and decay, and they can grasp power through that manipulation, control. Anyways, but the Bible does most certainly have to say says something about this idea that, you know, we don't need to work and we'll just take from people. Well, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's how that works. Let me see here. Let me read you a verse from Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, I believe here. Yeah, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. This is not a subjective suggestion. It's not, hey, if you feel like it, cool. If you don't, fine. Whatever floats your boat. We're not talking about pizza toppings here. Paul is a man directly governed by the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And he's writing instructions that are God-breathed, and they have the force of an immediate command. It is something that if you do not obey, if you do not adhere to, if it is not administered, you will go to hell. It's that simple. It's a matter of salvation, and it's a matter of fellowship. It holds the most weight, if you will, scripturally speaking, as plain as it can be. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not in the pattern, not in the order, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, in verse 12, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what's the higher authority that you need to call upon? This is a command. You need to obey this. That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Stop being a bum and leeching off of my plate, where I feed my children. Go to work. There's enough work out there. Stop being a busybody. Stop being a whiny little leftist liberal who contributes nothing to society. We've allowed that to creep into the church. And that ain't helping no one. Nowhere. No how. Well, can we recognize them? Sure you can. They're the kind that watch this pod vlog and start saying, keep politics out of the church. I'm offended. You're not Christ-like. You're just mean. Where's my safety bubble? That one. That's the one I'm talking about. Terms like leftist and right wing and then these things, right and left, more poignantly, is found in the Bible. Left and right is found in the Bible. There's nothing political about an individual who says, I just don't want to work. Why would I? I'm just going to take from you. You owe me. Yes, I know I went to school for 10 years for some kind of weird art thingy, and now I'm in debt beyond belief. It's you should pay. You should pay. You should pay for all that. Oh, man. You have to just laugh a bit there. If not, it just... And that sadly has crept into the church, and we have individuals who think they can just manipulate the church that way. There are many individuals throughout the week, the months, the years that contact us at the church, and they just want a leech. They don't want a job. I know it. You ask them. Hey, listen, I know an employer who's looking for an employee. You could start tomorrow. I don't want to work. Why would I work? I mean, well, then why are you here at this church building, a small little church? Few members, no money here, but yet you want money from us. Because what do you want? Now, if you've not been eating, I'll cook you a meal. Or I'll go get you a hamburger at McDonald's. But that's not what you're looking for. You're looking to leech. You're a vampire. Leave us alone. Go away. And that should not be in the church at all, that kind of element. You want to be a worker. You want to be an individual who works hard for his food. And when you work hard for your food, and you happen to have a lot of food, because you work really hard, and you have a lot of food, well, then you start giving the food to those in the church that are genuinely authentic to the need. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17, 18, and 19. You work hard. You make a lot of money. Good. Are you faithful? Yeah? Okay, then use the riches you've made for the further growth of the kingdom and help those in the church that are needy. Those, again, who are genuinely in need. Not the leech, not the socialist. Not those, no, they don't belong in the church. As a matter of fact, they've withdrawn themselves from God with that lifestyle. And because they've withdrawn themselves from God, they've drifted away, fallen away. We withdraw from them, our fellowship, and they are to be pierced and challenged into repentance so that they can start working and becoming productive citizens, productive law-abiding citizens of the community. That is the behavioral attitude of an individual who is a Christian who wants to bring a good reputation to the church. Right? It's important to talk about it. I know it's a bit controversial. Everything's controversial now. Have you noticed that in this politically correct landscape that we've, you know, the sissy boys. Sissy boys have created this fragile world where they can take offense at anything you say. It's just crazy. So now any kind of verse you pull out of the Bible, it's going to offend someone. It's not politically correct. Well, we're talking about stuff that's not politically correct. We're talking about individuals must go to work. We need to work. Stop leeching off your fellow man. Stop stealing from his table and his kids' food just because you want to be a bum. Go to work. I'm not talking about the individual who is truly desperate and in need. I help those individuals, so don't judge me by my appearance and say you're just you have no compassion and no love, blah, 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 blah. No, I actually do. I just don't broadcast it with a microphone. Say, hey, listen, today, you know what I did? I helped a poor person. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Like if I'm some kind of Hollywood famous individual who just wants a virtuous moment there and a tap on the shoulder saying, you're such a wonderful individual. Yeah, we know you're an adulterer and a homosexual and a baby murderer, and we know that you've divorced so many times. We know you're evil and you're addicted to everything there isn't under the tree, but you helped a poor person and you made sure to put it on TV there, and we're just so mighty happy. You're such a cool individual. No, don't need that, do we? There's nothing. Matter of fact, we are commanded to help the needy, those who are needy. But it's getting difficult in this current climate to discern the needy from the leech, the bum, the individual who just don't want to work. And why would I? Why would I want to work? Government gives me money. It's free money. Oh, please, get away from me. Please, I'm going to smack you. I have to. If you stay close to me and you say that, I'm going to have to smack you. Out of self-defense, I'm going to have to smack the stupid out of your mouth. Please, please go away. Free money. Anyone who thinks government gives free money, man, they need Jesus double time. Please, please, let me sit down with you. Let's open the Bible and let's learn about this man named Jesus. Please let me help you out. You're in desperate need. You may not think so, but you are, man. If you think the government's giving you free money, please let me help you out. I know a man named Jesus. He'll help you out, man. He made me smart. I used to be as crazy as you are, man. Trust me. I was as foolish, and stupid things were coming out of my mouth like a fire hose all the time for a long time. And then I started reading this book, and lo and behold, it helped me have a brain. Please sit down with me. It'll teach you to work hard for your money. It'll teach you to work hard for your money. And with your money, you can use it for the greater good of the gospel. You'll grow a brain, and you'll find out that the government don't give stuff free. It never does, never will. It don't give stuff free. Don't, man. The government's giving you what hard-working, law-abiding citizens have been taxed to death for. That's what's going on. You know what I'm saying, man? Got to learn this. No work, no food. Individuals like, well, what do you do, Stefan? You do nothing. Well, of course I do nothing. You have no spiritual eye to see the hard work I put in from morning to night. Of course not. To you, I appear behind a pulpit for a half hour here and there, and you think that's just, you know. I love labor work, more and more so these passing decades. I love to work hard. I love to build things. I love to do stuff. Makes me feel like a man, you know? Makes me feel like a man when I can work hard, have a hard working day. Be like, you know what? I worked hard today. I feel good after my shower, having eaten a good meal, sitting down with the kiddos and be like, ah, that feels good. I worked hard today. It's a blessing that God extends your way when you work hard for the food that's on your table. Too many individuals have got this mentality now that's been drilled into them by the socialistic agenda, the socialism agenda, you know, that they just don't need to do anything. That somehow society owes them everything. It's a farce. It's a lie. It's a myth. It's fiction. It's what TV sells you. TV sells you fear, division, riot. TV sells you everything. TV, they own a lot of stuff, you know. TV, they own the entertainment industry. TV owns politicians, news channels, podcasts, talk shows. They own the academic institutions. Hollywood and their TV, they own the academic institutions. You send your kids to Rome and they come out as Romans. That's how that works. And it's not like a hidden agenda. It's not like, oh, you're just speaking conspiracies. It's not. It's very open and public. That's what they say. We want your children, and this is what we're going to brainwash them with. We're going to make them into these little minions here, and welcome to the factory. Scripture says, if you don't work, you don't eat. There's many individuals in the church. They love the lights on. They love the AC in summertime and the heat in wintertime. They love the fellowship meals and all the food around. But they're leeching. They don't want to give. They don't want to work to give. All of this is part of the cancer, the spiritual cancer that has crept into the church. And it was part of the problem during the days of the apostles as well. That's why they addressed it with such a powerful command. If any among you don't work, he don't eat. For an individual like myself, if I'm taking myself as an example here, the way the work that is produced here operates is through financial support from Christians around the world who see the value and need for the gospel to be proclaimed this side of the map, where it is untapped territory. Okay? And so my work is gospel from morning to night. And I would feel a breach of my conscience. I would feel so useless if I were to be taking that support and being a leech, not working hard for it. It's for the gospel. It's the gospel work. It's the teacher that gets his pay because he teaches the students. I live off of the gospel. I teach individuals the good news of Jesus Christ. That may not be your path in life that you've chosen. You may not have chosen that path. Maybe you work, maybe your opportunities in life are working at McDonald's or being the garbage man. Do what you have to do, but work and do it for God. And you'll have food on the table. I have no problem at all extending half of my plate to an individual who works hard but just can't make ends meet because of a crazy government that steals from him to give to the leeches. We need to be smarter. And what about... Let's just connect the dots here. What about all these rioters these days? What about all these protesters? Where are they working? What do they do? Nothing. They're leeches. The government pays them to go out there and protest against stuff they know nothing about. Cause riot, burn down stuff. Burn down the very establishments that would employ them and give them a better future. Put food on the table. No, let's all burn that down because TV's told us. Hollywood's told us we need to hate people because of their skin color. Hollywood's told us to do this, do that. Is that really the teachings of the scriptures? Well, no. Friends, come on. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Some of the individuals and Christians of the day were thinking, Christ's going to appear anytime anyway, so I'm just not going to work. Man, that's not how it works. That day, that hour, no man knows. You do not know the time or the moment in which the sky is going to open and the end of all flesh will come upon us. It's just, you don't know that time, so you work hard till then. And it don't matter what you work at. As long as it's for God, you're doing a good thing. You could work at the factory. You could be a doctor, a judge, a lawyer, a president, a prime minister, a king, a queen. It don't matter what you do in life. As long as you do it for God, it will be good. It will be good. And if you happen to accumulate much wealth through the honest and hard work that you produce in your life, then you utilize that for the further growth of the kingdom and to help your fellow saints who are truly, genuinely in need. There are Christians in the church who genuinely need food and shelter and perhaps need help on paying the rent. And it's not because they're bums or they're leeches or they're welfare cases or anything like that. It's just because they've been, that perhaps some decisions in their life earlier on were poor, or perhaps it's health related. And in a corrupt system, maybe it's the insurance companies robbing them. Maybe it's the corruption of the insurance companies and things of that nature. Friends, we gotta be smart with this. There's nothing unloving in being wise and discerning each and individual case. And that's where you got to go with this. Yes, for you can, in a general sense, paint a broad brush. There's no fault in that. And I do it myself, and it can be done. But on the helping, on the practical side of things, on the helping now an individual, each and every single individual, you have to make it a case-by-case context. Like specifically this sister in Christ, or this brother in Christ, or this individual in the community, or that individual in the community. We need time to discern if this individual is a leech, a vampire, or if this individual is an authentic, genuine, needy individual in which we can have the joy of helping. Have the joy of helping. Because there is joy in giving to the needy. See, this is the part of the podcast the wackos don't want to listen to. But it's true. The scriptures teach such a thing, don't they? Nations have been judged by their lack of taking care of the widows, the orphans, the needy, the parents, our parents. We live in such a time of don't care for anybody else but myself, and let's just thieve everyone, and let's just leech on everyone, and it's just crazy. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. All right, my friends, I think that will bring to a conclusion our podcast this day. Sometimes, you know, we have to have podcast episodes where we just talk about these things in a kind of a fluent way. All right? We can get into the politics of things. I've never said ever that in this podcast I would not talk about certain aspects of politics. But here's the thing. We need to be able to discern the difference between politics according to the world's context or the governing policies of spiritual citizenship that the scriptures teach about. Because the scriptures teach about politics, and they teach about government, and they teach about right, and they teach about left. Okay? That's the language I want to utilize regarding moral issues. Moral issues like, you know, abortion, homosexuality, atheism, Islam, whatever, fornication, all these things. Now, politicians who are only in it for the greed of the dollar and the power of manipulating neighborhoods, well, they're going to utilize sin and moral aspects of sin in order to gain your vote, in order to manipulate your mind, deceive you. And one of those is this idea that if you vote for me, you'll have everything free. You'll never have to work again. Government will give you all kinds of money. It's a farce. It's a lie. And it shouldn't have crept into the church. And sadly, it has. There are many Christians out there who just leech on the system. They leech on law-abiding, tax-paying people. They leech on individuals in the church who have worked hard all their lives and have been able to pay their bills, and they just want to take advantage of that. And the Bible specifically says, through the inspiration therein, that such an individual, a brother or sister, should be removed because they've withdrawn from God. So they need to be removed from the local congregation until they repent, if they repent. If not, again, torment is there evermore. Whatever it is you do, you work hard at it. I chose to do the gospel from morning to night, to be solely focused on that, to be a minister, to be a gospel preacher, to be an evangelist, to do this. Yes, I am unorthodox. I am rough around the edges. Things are done differently. I knew that when I was in the belt of the Bible for several years, where they were like, you just don't fit in here. It's not the, like, we've made this mold and you're just not that. It's just not the thing there. Don't get me wrong. There are many, many, many good, faithful brethren over in the belt of the Bible who don't have that mentality. But I've come across that frame of thought and perception in a great number of them. Why is that? I've made my life the gospel. And because of that, I want to make sure individuals know the Bible. Right? And because of that, I am supported by Christians who get it, who know me, and know the value of the work here, and who know I work hard. My work, you can look at it. You can see it. You can find it. I work hard. I write. I read. I study. I teach. I preach. I evangelize. I'm trying to build a ministry. I'm trying to build a Bible school. I'm trying to do the best I can, and I work hard. And the Lord has blessed me with Christians who support that hard work, not because I can meritoriously earn anything from a salvation standpoint. I am at the mercy of our Lord's grace as much as you are. But it just frustrates me. It angers me in a righteous way. Those who don't see the value of hard work. Whatever it is you do, they don't see it, they don't want it. They just want to leech on others. That shouldn't be. It should not be. And it's big business for those in power who are corrupt and crooked in our government. It would certainly cancel out the frauds if they knew they had nothing to leech on. You know, our healthcare system here. The liberal agenda will try to tell you we have free healthcare here. It's not free. It ain't free. We're taxed heavily for the ability to walk into a hospital and not have a bill to pay. We're taxed heavily. But what do you think that creates? When you go to a doctor and you have to wait 8 to 12 hours. Why? Because it's filled in the waiting room, filled with individuals who shouldn't even be there. If you find yourself on any given day packed to the rim with hundreds of individuals waiting to see the doctor, and the doctor would walk out of his office and say, oh, by the way, from this moment on, if you want to see me, each and every one of you has to give me $300. What do you think would happen? You'd have, I don't know, 5 people left there. In the waiting room. 5 people who are genuinely sick and need to see the doctor and will pay the $300. It would get rid of all the leeches there in a blink of an eye. You see them. I know it. I grew up in this community. I know what's going on. You go there and what do you find? They're there with their coffee. They're having their cigarette. You know, I don't want to work. I just came to the doctor to get a note not to work. Yeah, well, you're in the way of individuals like myself who may be really sick, who need to go see to the doctor. It's going to take us 12 hours now. So there's a lot of stuff that comes along with the verse commanding us that if we don't work, we don't eat. This is all part and parcel of that, the many branches of that tree. That's why I'm discussing all the facets here. See, because of that, we've told ourselves, you know what? I don't want to take care of my kids. Government, you take care of my kids. I don't want to pay my bills. Government, you pay my bills. I don't want to take care of my fellow man. Government, you do that. And government ain't going to do that when it's corrupted. Oh, it's sure. It started with sincerity and it started with a good idea. Yeah, let's just, you know, go that way. But corruption goes in there. And then the next thing you know, well, you got to pay $12 for some milk. It's just not the way Christians should be. Loving, kind, compassionate, giving, yes, but not stupid. If you're a needy individual, I'm going to take my time to discern if you're a fraud or a genuine needy individual. And I don't have much to give you. So most of the time, what I'm going to tell you is, hey, man, I'd like to pick you up and you come to church with us. No. All right, then. I have a granola bar here. I'll give you a granola bar. Well, I was hoping for money. Well, you ain't getting no money. Ain't going to happen. See, these things are important to talk about. All right, I'm going on and on again. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. We shall most certainly meet next time, Lord willing, with the next podcast. And let's be smart with these kind of discussions, all right? See you later. Bye-bye.